Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, discussion dedicated to the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host, Mr. Evan Ryer. Evan, we have a schedule in our grimy, dirty, filthy little mitts. We're going to go schedule deep with this Jacksonville Jaguars team for the 2025 season. And of course, we're at Party Girl at 4205 St. John's Avenue in the Avondale district of Duval, where always something cooking, Ev. We got a lot cooking on the show today.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is one of the last big crumbs that we get before we, do the long, hard wait through the summer until, football's actually played. You know, don't get it twisted, of course. Training and practice, those all be things we're watching closely, but it's always exciting when the schedule comes out. I was curious, did you know the reference, for their video? Did you know who that guy was?
I didn't really get it initially. So,
For whatever reason, he's like an influencer who's blown up because he put up his routine that was kind of ridiculous, and he's kind of running stride. And of course, I guess the Jags were like, all right, we're going to grab him for this video, which I they've had better release videos. I'll say that right now. I like the X-Men one from last year a little bit more, but it was still fun and, just happy to have the schedule either way. So
are the Chargers kind of leading the way right now, that group in social and the different things they do like that? It seems like the Chargers get a lot of buzz for what they do. They're
really good at it. They've kind of got a tradition of it because they've got the very famous, their old social media coordinator just changed his old account to the Chargers account that they still now have. So there are old tweets that are under the @Chargers name that say, I got to find my wife and go to PF Chang's and things like that. So I think they've just always had a knack for it and realized that, they're kind of like the Jags. You know, the Chargers don't exactly have a massive fan base. So, they got to get the traction wherever they can. But, absolutely. Yeah, they're always towards the top. I always think the Falcons do a pretty good job, too. I didn't actually get to watch a ton of the other schedule release videos.
Sounds like the Colts had to do some work taking down maybe their initial offering, the Colts. Yeah. Tyreek Hill, part of that. So yeah. Interesting for the boys from Indianapolis. But without further ado, Ev, let's jump into it, man. I'm going to pull it up right here. The 2025 schedule for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And gosh, I'm way down here at the bottom already. I need to scroll us up. You know what? We've got the preseason games. But after last season, I don't even care about the preseason. 3-0 in the preseason meant nothing in the regular season. Pittsburgh, New Orleans on the road, the Dolphins on the road. And I still have PTSD from anything down there at Hard Rock Stadium after that season opener last year. So I'm trying to just I'm not even thinking about the preseason, Ev.
No, I could care less. You can go 0-3 or 3-0. It doesn't really matter. We saw that in real time last year. We've seen it in previous years. It's still I guess an interesting little schedule. Obviously that Saints and Miami game, those will probably be the two most important in terms of figuring out who's going to end up on the roster. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't really matter much. I'm not going to put much stake in it.
I'll tell you what I will put a lot into as we scroll down here. Week one and the Carolina Panthers at Everbank Stadium. Going to be a little toasty. Oh, at 1 p.m. on September the 7th. I'll tell you something else. Maybe it's hyperbole on my behalf, and I'm not typically one to go that route, but for me, this is the most important season opener for the Jacksonville Jaguars in a long, long time. Maybe ever, Evan, because you can't open the season. They're trying to give you a little bit of a hanging curveball here, and I understand the Panthers got better down the stretch of the 2024 season. Bryce Young looked like he could be the guy at quarterback. David Canales kind of did a job in Carolina last season that you're hoping Liam Cohen is able to do, perhaps even to a higher extent, certainly to a higher extent, because you're anticipating this Jaguar team potentially being a playoff squad. But you got to beat the Panthers, Evan, in week one at home.
Yeah, it's a, you know, hanging curve or kind of a, I don't know if you can have a season opener be a trap game, but this kind of feels like a trap game. If you don't show up and beat the Panthers, then you're already in immediate trouble. I really agree with you on how important that game is. When you just look at the rest of the games that we'll get to before the bye week, this is kind of the easiest one you're probably going to have. So you got to show up. You got to beat the Panthers. Yeah, Bryce Young took some steps forward. Yeah, that defense has been getting better over the years. But no, like you can't really mess around with that. You got to go in there. You got to get a win. You're at home. You know, I mean, this, there's not really an excuse. This is as beatable as a team as they're going to probably face all year. So if you don't win this one, you're already going to have probably a little bit of panic, I would say, you know, about, well, if we're stumbling here, I don't know how we're going to do the following weeks.
Yeah, it's the thing where you're not going to be as worried quite yet about the new regime as far as Liam Cohen, the coaching staff, the GM, Tony Boselli, because as we talked about last week, that situation, in my opinion, is set for another window, even if the quarterback situation doesn't work out with Trevor. But if you lose to Bryce Young in year three and you're in year five or whatever it is with Trevor Lawrence, and look, two seasons ago, even when you were in collapse mode without Trevor Lawrence, you beat Bryce Young and the Panthers in December in Jacksonville. I think it was CJ Beathard, wasn't it? You beat this team. You beat the Panthers with CJ Beathard. I know teams change, whatever. But to me, it's a must win right out of the gate, not just because of what it'll signify if you don't win, but also with what this schedule is going to continue to present to you right there in week two when you got to go to Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's a kind of brutal second game to go after the Panthers. I mean, you know, don't get it twisted. The Bengals are, you know, they're not exactly invincible or anything like that, of course. But I mean, that offense is, you know, so high powered. We've seen that against the Jags in recent years. We've seen it week after week with Joe Burrow. That's going to be a tough one, especially it's going to be probably the first proper test for some of the new members of this defense, too. You know, when you think about the secondary changes, you think about potentially Travis Hunter getting out there for some snaps at corner. That's going to be a difficult one. And playing in Cincinnati, you know, Cincinnati doesn't get the credit that maybe Buffalo or Kansas City gets. It's not an easy place to play either. So that's one where, if you lose against Carolina, you're more than likely, you know, a pretty decent underdog when you go to Cincinnati. And that's not going to be fun.
No, and it's a great point you make about this defense really getting a challenge from Joe Burrow, whose receivers are whole now financially, which matters. He's got his top guys on the outside, and a winnable road game, though, for the Jags, if they are who we think they are in terms of personnel and moving forward with Trevor and being more of an offense that can win games in different ways. I think it's going to be on the offense too. If they're really improved running the football, that'll help them with Joe Burrow. You know, if they can occupy some time with that run game and then limit the opportunities that you give the Bengals and Burrow when they do have the football. Week three, let's get right into divisional play. EverBank Stadium, the hated Houston Texans, Ev. Again, as we talked about with that season opener with Carolina, doesn't get much easier after week one. And, you know, I kind of always get a kick out of the NFL because you hear people say, boy, there's just no breaks. Oh, it's the NFL. Yeah. Man, there's not supposed to be any breaks on the damn schedule. Well, there certainly won't be with CJ Stroud and the rest of the Texans visiting Duval on September the 21st.
Yeah. You know, this is also, you talk about early season games that seem to matter a lot more. I mean, the way that the schedule played out, this is first half of the season, the only divisional game. Obviously you can make up a lot of ground in the back half of the season, but you would really like to at least go ahead and get a divisional win, especially against probably the front runners for the division. If we had to pick one, And Houston, you know, I mean, they're going to be difficult. I mean, they are very talented across the board. Obviously, C.J. Stroud regressed a little bit himself last year. But, you know, if he's, you know, let's say he gets back up to his kind of rookie level of play, that's going to be a very difficult game. Another situation where, like you said, running the ball, it's going to help. If you can get that, you know, you can neutralize the quarterback, you can neutralize their receiver group, that would go a long way to, you know, keeping the Jags in that game.
This is a revamped Texans offensive line too, right?
Yeah.
So I thought the Jags had some success affecting CJ Stroud a year ago. And you said it, what's year three going to look like for him? Because it did in some ways represent, and maybe if not a regression, stagnancy for CJ Stroud a year ago, but he's still got guys. I mean, we know that. And, but again, this is a relevance. I'm calling this the return to relevance tour 2025 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because that's what they're going for essentially during the upcoming season. And no better way to sort of stake that claim than with a huge divisional win against the reigning divisional champs in the Houston Texans. And then in week four, you make the trip out west, Santa Clara, to take on the San Francisco 49ers, the Mac Jones revenge game, Ev.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe if something happens to Brock Purdy, then Mac will get out there, which would be hilarious. You know, we're not really doing schedule predictions. I'm going to go ahead and chalk this one up as an L. I'm not even going to really talk myself into this one. You know, West Coast trips are always difficult no matter who you're playing. This is going to be a San Francisco team with a big, big chip on its shoulder. They had, you know, such a disastrous 2024 campaign. They're going to be really eager to come out strong, I think, in this upcoming season. I think a lot of dudes on that team have something to prove. And, yeah, at the end of the day, that's just one where, you know, sometimes you got to make a West Coast trip like that, and it's going to be what it's going to be. So, you know, if anything, I don't want to say you just, you know, kind of not try. Obviously, you have to not try, but or you have to give something. But that's one where I would rather you be focusing on Houston the week before and Kansas City the week after.
Yeah, and speaking of Kansas City, week five, Monday Night Football at the Bank, Ev. Oh, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Who knows? Maybe T Swift shows up in Duval.
I don't think she'll be playing
Daly's place anytime soon, but we're thankful to the Chiefs for this game, because it's exactly why there is going to be Monday Night Football in early October. It's not a Jags thing. It's a Chiefs thing. That's fine. That's fine.
Again, a
great opportunity against, you know, a team that got just, you talk about chip on their shoulder. Chiefs ought to have one after that hammer job they took in New Orleans at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles. But another elite quarterback on the schedule, or a high echelon quarterback. You go from Burrow, you go to Stroud, you go to Brock Purdy, and then, of course, you get Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, between Cincinnati, Houston, San Francisco, Kansas City, that four-game stretch, we should know exactly where this defense is at by the end of that, going into the rest of the season. A lot of weapons, a lot of different guys that can hurt you on those squads. You know, and like you said, you never know. The Jags actually do have some success when you think historically against like really good teams. I think about that that year that the Jags beat the Ravens with like four Scobie field goals, no touchdowns. Hey, you never know. Maybe they can do something similar against Kansas City. But another tough one. I mean, really, it's a gauntlet to open up the year. And so
those first five of Carolina, Cincinnati, Houston, San Francisco, and the Chiefs, would you take 2 and 3 right now? If I said, look, we won't even play the games, Evan, we're going to go ahead and give you 2 and 3 for the Jags through those five and just start the season against the Seahawks at Everbank on October the 12th. Would you take that today, Ev?
I would, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I think 3 and 2 is absolutely a possibility. You know, there's a lot of kind of gray area and undecided factors at the moment, but I definitely would take 2 and 3. I think also, I would, if you said 3 and 4 after the Rams game in London, I would probably take that too.
The first 11 games really as we'll get to.
Like, honestly, if you can just hang around 500,
get to Thanksgiving in one piece.
Seattle's not going to be necessarily easy, but I don't think they're going to be quite as good as they were last year. I think you can definitely do that. And the Jags have, you know, a great history in London and winning games there. You know, the Rams are still a good team. Matt Stafford is still that guy. But, you know, those Seattle and Los Angeles games are definitely winnable. But I think really, if you know, we're being realistic, you'd take a split between those two as well.
Yeah. Sam Darnold out there in Seattle, and saw him this past season with the Vikings in Jacksonville. He wasn't exactly a world beater in that game. It'll be interesting because you're going to see the new Seattle quarterback and you're going to see the old Seattle quarterback as we get more into this schedule as well. I'm with you. Part of me likes that. Look, you don't have to go to Seattle and you don't have to go to LA. The other side of that is you're going to London to play LA. Yeah. So a split of those games, I agree. I think that should be the expectation, honestly. I think you should beat the Seattle Seahawks in Jacksonville. And then, you know, you take your shot in London against Matt Stafford in the Gladstone sort of bowl, right? With the Rams.
Yeah, no, so. That's the Gladstone revenge game, I guess, you know, and then finally you get to the bye week, which
I think that's in a good spot, right?
Yeah, no, the week 8 bye week, that's as good as you can hope for. It's not like week 6 or week 11 or something like that. Straight down the middle, you definitely are not mad about that. And then you come out the other side with a little bit of a, you know, a back-to-back road trip situation, but you know, Vegas is definitely a beatable team. You can definitely go
into
Los
Angeles.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about Vegas too is that, you know, it's a road game, but that's not an environment you're especially worried about playing in Las Vegas against the Raiders, really.
Right.
You know, it's still not quite, you know, culturally, sound, there. And then, you know, Houston after that, of course, that's just massive.
Some demons to exercise with those Texans, Ev.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's one of those, it's just tough because they're good. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a case of like, oh, well, we're always on the same playing field and, you know, we could beat them. We just don't. It's like, no, they're very good. And playing in Houston is not especially easy. So, you know,
the Texans think too?
Yeah.
The Texans think, you know what? Relative to Jacksonville, we're just tougher.
Yeah.
We're tougher than they are.
Yeah.
You know, that's what if you injected D'Amico Ryans or the Texans with true serum, they would tell you, look, Jags compared to us, culture and those type of things. And we've heard all this is where you're going to find out if the toughness and physicality and all these things we've heard in the regime change is actually starting to take about this point on the schedule. If you're becoming that type of team, week in and week out, early November, it should show up when you go to Vegas. And then certainly when you follow that up with another road trip to take on the Texans, who, by the way, Robert Adsert tuning in here live, referring to that Texans offensive line with the departures there, says Cam is no upgrade for the Texans.
We'll see.
We'll
see.
And Robert also chimes in. Cam allowed 5 sacks in a playoff game last year.
It's a fair point, but that Texans offensive line, I'm pretty sure, set NFL records for total penalties. Yeah. I mean, they didn't necessarily give up the number of sacks that, you know, a terrible offensive line might typically do. But how many in that one game against the Jags last year? I think they had like 10 penalties just on the offensive line.
And the Jags somehow figure out a way to lose.
Yeah,
you know, both
it's
of
so
them.
Much fun.
Yeah.
And then you got the Chargers at home, which I'm pretty sure the last time the Jags
measuring stick. At home, this is another quarterback measuring stick game, Ev, because there's been a lot of talk about Herbert and Lawrence through the years, right?
Yeah.
And we saw them in the playoff game, obviously, in Jacksonville a few years ago. And a lot of what the Trevor Lawrence nation bases their support of him on is about 2 quarters of football. Against the Chargers.
Yeah.
And so you get the Chargers at Everbank again, this time in November. I mean, Jim Harbaugh couldn't be any more high on a quarterback than he is Justin Herbert. I mean, he thinks Justin Herbert, at least publicly, maybe this is a mind game he's playing with his quarterback. He thinks Justin Herbert's a future Hall of Famer, you know? So
I mean, His if his stats in terms of like the rate of those stats over the next 10 years, I mean, it could be that. Now, we did see Herbert's role really reduce in LA last year.
Don't run the football.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Chargers did what the Jags need to do with Lawrence.
Yeah, no, for real.
Make him a situational thrower, and the situations are largely positive when he throws it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a very winnable game, and like you said, a measuring stick, especially, you know, if you can, you know, let's say get back from this road trip, and let's say you're over 500 maybe.
Yeah.
Let's say you're 5-4. That's going to be, you know, this is the kind of game that reminds me of like the Seahawks in 2017, where when the Jags went into that game against the Seahawks at home, it was kind of like, you know, the Jags are pretty good, but, you know, they got to beat somebody like, you know, the Seahawks to prove it. That would be a win that I think would kind of be like, okay, the Jags are actually playoff ready if they are hitting that point. And then I will say the Cardinals game on the road is going to be tricky. That's not going to be as easy as people think. Not necessarily a bad environment, but Kyler Murray really kind of returned to form last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to, you know, you don't want to mess with him too much. You don't want to give him too many opportunities. So that's also going to be one to watch. I think it'll be a fun one for sure.
So many of these games, again, to me, go back to the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And I understand, as we've talked about for a while now, the position is we're going to run the ball, be more physical, essentially buoy Trevor Lawrence in a way that he hasn't benefited from in the previous year. So perhaps we'll see that really in full form by the time we get to, say, Thanksgiving weekend. And this is what I'm talking about earlier. If you're, say, 5-6 coming out of Glendale and you still got the Titans twice, you got the Colts twice. You look at the Jags' four wins last season, Ev, three of them came against the Titans and the Colts, right?
Yeah.
So you've got four of your last five, I guess, or six, four of your last six against the Titans and the Colts. So this is where, if, again, you can be in one piece even by the time you get to Tennessee at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, you got a chance in the division still.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially if Houston's, you know, maybe not quite as strong, if they kind of look a little bit more like last year, you might be in a situation where, you know, four wins could give you like the overall divisional lead in terms of like division wins. Yeah, I mean, when you go on the road to Tennessee, you got to think W. You know, I know with a lot of road games that we've been talking about, we've said they're either toss-ups or you kind of have to chalk them up as an L. Tennessee on the road, if you're a playoff team, you go win that game. There's no question about it. You know, it's a rookie quarterback. It's a team that's rebuilding. There should be no excuse.
No, there is none.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's two wins when you look at this schedule, they're both Tennessee. I mean, you beat them twice last year. Yeah, Cam Ward. There's a lot of excitement about the potential and future with him, but you especially can't lose both those games to Cam Ward next season, which I just can't envision that happening. Because if that happens, then now it's not just the Texans who have the edge on you in the division and at the most important position on the field. Now it's the Titans that it would appear moving forward too. That, and I don't see that happening in 2025, but for the Jags, it just can't happen.
F around and find out, you know?
Yeah.
And then I will say it is fun to, you know, you have your easiest road game of the year is probably, you know, in Nashville. And then you follow it up with a team that you crush at home.
Just Daniel Jones, baby.
Yeah. I mean,
is it going to be Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson?
I don't know, man.
I think Anthony Richardson, even if he is the guy, he's probably hurt by this point.
No, exactly.
This is December the 7th. So
it's
I'd bank on DJ.
Yeah. I think it'll be Daniel Jones by this point because of injury, or I think you start the season with Anthony Richardson. If you're Indy, and if it's just not working out, you can bail to Daniel Jones because that team is good enough to potentially win 10 games with a half decent quarterback. I don't know if Daniel Jones is that half decent quarterback, but it'll be interesting to see who they face on December 7th. And then, you know, after that, you get to stay at home with New York, the New York Jets, which is another winnable game. I mean, this back half of the schedule is very – you can get this. You can go after this stretch of schedule.
Yeah. Justin Fields, baby.
Yeah. I mean, he's very good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think Justin Fields definitely showed last year that he's better than maybe some people were giving him credit for.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Kyler Murray. You know, this is a guy that will create and can kill you on the run if you're not careful. But at the same time, this is, again, a team that if you said, would you rather have the Jets roster or the Jags roster? I'm not sure. I'd probably rather
have the Jags roster. This is the 2021 draft game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
With Fields and Trevor.
Yeah.
In this matchup in Jacksonville. Yeah, you got to beat the Jets. Transitioning to Aaron Glenn at the head coach position. Fields, to me, at this point, I can't consider him much more than just okay.
Yeah.
And then the Jets are seemingly in forever rebuilding mode.
Yeah.
I do like Aaron Glenn, though. I think he's the right guy for that job. The Jets organizationally kind of have a reputation like the Jags, unfortunately, around the league. So you have some concerns about that moving forward, even with the new GM and all the changes the Jets have made. But sure, I mean, you're catching a break. You're playing a mid-December game against the Jets that's not in East Rutherford. So you get them at Everbank. That's a game you absolutely have to have. What about the Denver Broncos with Bo Nix? It's going to be a chilly one, I would think, on December the 21st, Ev, out in the Mile High.
That would be a fun trip, is the first thought I had. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, obviously that's going to be really cold, even if it's not snowing. You know, it's going to be probably 30, 40s. You know, this is the kind of game that, again, is also a little bit of a prove-it situation, a little bit like that Los Angeles game. Denver is definitely not a bad squad right now. They definitely feel like they're on the upswing. You know, they play in one of the toughest divisions in the NFL. So, you know, they may not be able to, you know, hit the like 13-4 type level, but they're going to be a tough out, I would describe Denver as. And, you know, really other, you know, after a lot of relatively easy road trips, it's really, you know, I would say San Francisco, Cincinnati, Houston, and Denver. Those are like the four that you're like, yeah, these are going to be tough. But you never know. If you're in a good spot going to that Denver game, that could be the kind of game that, you know, could be like playoff clinching type. You know, we're hitting that late in the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, kind of get my head in the clouds there in terms of how lofty those ambitions are. But yeah, definitely going to be, I think, an important one. Even if the Jags are, you know, if they're a game under 500, that's also going to be kind of a, you know, winner you're out kind of situation.
Feels that way. It definitely does. Your mother and I have been out to Empower Field at Mile High. It was many, many moons ago. It was chilly also at the game that we took in out there with the Denver Broncos and Jacksonville Jaguars. Week 17, I guess if you have a back-to-back on the road, Ev, you feel about as good as you could with that coming against the Indianapolis Colts. That's right now anyway. That looks like a navigable situation. Again, if you're going to have a late regular season back-to-back roadie, Colts on the back end of that wouldn't seem to be all that daunting.
Yeah, that's the only concern, I guess, about the back half of the schedule. It's a much easier set of teams, but, you know, six road games, four home games. You know, you're going to be traveling quite a bit. Indianapolis, though, you know, Jags have – you know, historically not had a ton of issues there when Peyton Manning's not on the team. Yeah, you know, that's ideal, I would say, after Denver. Obviously you wrap up the season with the Titans at home, which is, again, a must win, even more, you know, obviously more so than the road trip. And, you know, I when I think about flex games at home against the Titans, I think about when the Jags won the division a couple of years back. So, you know, there's some good history there as well.
Yeah, I think these last couple of games will be interesting because I think you'll get a better understanding of Liam Cohen as a head coach, right?
Yeah.
We'll have a pretty good sample size of decisions and how things have been handled and, you know, the load that comes with being a head coach. And things that you've heard about Liam, and you can even sense this from when you hear him speak, is that he's an excitable guy. You know, how does that work over the course of a long season? How is he able to sort of manage those in certainly big moments, but you certainly expect on week 18 of the upcoming season for something to be on the line for the Jacksonville Jaguars, even if it's just in terms of a statement about where the organization truly appears to be headed, starting with the quarterback position and then how this new regime has handled things over the course of a long season. Does that freshness, does that new car smell, is it all still there, Ev? Those are the things I'll be interested in. I kind of look at the schedule right now. I'm kind of cautious in that I would probably lean more 8 and 9 for the season. I'm not sure about you. Somewhere around 500 is where I would probably land right now.
I think the most likely, based on the information in front of us, is probably, 8 and 9, 7 and 10, maybe 9 and 8. But, you know, at the same time, that, you know, it's just the way that the Jags have been operating this offseason that makes me wonder, do they think 11 and 6 or 10 and 7?
Like, we talked about it last week. I think we both agree. And I think they should. I agree with that way of thinking.
Yeah, just you should be trying to win. Yeah, absolutely.
Of the people they have and what they have invested in certain people, especially their quarterback. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we brought up Trevor a bunch over the course of this, and we'll be talking about him nonstop until you know, really he's and honestly until the end of this upcoming season. But you know, it's if he takes the step forward, if this new regime is truly what he needs to kind of actualize that potential, or at the very least to get Ryan Tannehill, as you've put it, you know, that then yeah, the ceiling is, you know, pretty high for this team if Trevor gets there. But we just unfortunately won't know until, you know, probably, you know, mid-October.
You don't know how you look until you get your picture took. So for excitement about the new regime, new head coach, freshness, all those things, and it should be there. And combine it with a roster that looks certainly capable of being a relevant team, as I talked about earlier, the relevance tour 2025 should be a lot of excitement. But you don't know. You don't know until things, adversity hits and some other things come into play. Even handling success, as we've seen with the Jaguars in the last couple of years, that didn't go necessarily well for the organization. But again, when you just talk parts and pieces, this is a team right now. It looks like when we get to Indianapolis and Tennessee and the last couple of weeks of the season, wild card, perhaps even the divisional crown, I don't think either one of us will be surprised if those type of things are within their grasp.
Yeah, it's it definitely feels like, you know, we've said it all episode, but, you know, if you get to the bye week at like 2 and 5 or 1 and 6, then it doesn't really matter how easy the rest of the schedule is.
You're, I think, done. That,
you know, it's such, so much of this season, and, you know, a lot of NFL seasons are, you know, it's about momentum, and the Jaguars really do have to, you know, like, find something, just like we've said, stay afloat. You know, you don't necessarily need to be, you know, pushing forward, but you just got to be, you know, running in place that when, you know, those, I guess, limiters, those straps come off, you're able to just go in that second half of the season after the bye week. But, yeah, a lot to think about between now and September.
Had the rookie camp. How about your guy, Jack Kaiser?
Yeah.
Getting some love from Liam Cohen.
Dude, I mean, it seems like he's looking the part. I mean, it would be nice for the Jags to, you know, especially get the Gladstone kind of modus operandi going right away.
Yeah.
You know, mid-round picks becoming, you know, really important players. Kaiser could be that guy. That would be cool. But, you know, it's such early days that I feel like anything I say right now is just going to end up going to bite me in the ass. But
yes, and 2024, the most recent example of maybe putting too much. I did it myself, you know, thinking 10 wins. Yeah, not so quick, but excited about what's to come. As you said, about to head through the desert a little bit, but we're still going to be around right here on Ryer on YouTube talking to Jacksonville Jaguars. And Ev, anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think I'm good. I think we've just about exhausted the schedule as much as we can, at least for 24 hours in.
Absolutely. And with that, Evan Ryer, as always, appreciate you being here. right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. And if you would hit us with a thumbs up, we would greatly appreciate it as well. For Ev, I'm Trav. And until next time, so long, everybody.